Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fantasy Footbeer Podcast. I'm James Kemp, joined as always by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Dr. Michael Stewart. And Dr. Stu, it's playoff time, baby.
Playoff time. It's where it gets serious, James. This is win or die. Win or go home. Excited for it. Excited to talk about it. You didn't ask how my day's going, but I already told you it's pretty bad. Pretty stressed out. So I'm excited to talk about football week 15 action. We have got the start and sit considerations that are burning in your minds. And hopefully we all do really well and come out of this on the other side smelling like roses, ready for week 16, James. But first, let me hear how you are doing tonight.
I'm doing all right. I'm excited for the playoffs just as much as everybody else. I just want to have a few reminders for everybody listening to this show today. First, just be aware that, and hopefully you do this anyway, but be aware that this is a once-a-week podcast that comes out on Tuesday. You kind of have to take the stuff as far as injury news we say and follow that throughout the week, because there's some really important players with possible injuries that are up in the air that you need to be aware of as we go through them this week. But past that, guys, you're playing for right now. This is winning time. The time for deep bench stashes and long-term plays is done. It's time to get guys now. It's time to win now. And guys, this is what it's all about. This is what you spent all summer doing draft prep for. This is why you listen to this show and maybe other shows throughout the year. You got to embrace this time. For some of us, it's over quickly. For some of us, it's just beginning. But embrace it. Immerse yourself in it. Love it. It's winning time. Stu, take us to winning time. Round one, Thursday Night Football.
Yes, Thursday Night Football, a game where there's not a whole lot of pieces that I trust here, James. There's the Buccaneers and the Falcons, the Buccaneers hosting the Falcons. The line for this game, the Buccaneers are 4.5-point favorites with an over-under of 44.5. So, talking about the relevant fantasy players in Atlanta, there are few and far between. Bijan Robinson, of course, needs to be in your playoff lineups. There's just no question about it. Tyler Allgeier is not going to find his way into your playoff lineups. We don't need to consider him. That is a risky start altogether, unless you were super desperate. For the wide receivers, Drake London is a DNP on Monday, I do believe. So it is not, in my opinion, likely that he's going to be ready on Thursday night. Apparently there's a chance, but of course there's always a chance. That's just coach speak. That's what they want you to hear. But you need to be prepared that Drake London is not going to be available for you. So you need to be scouring your bench, the waiver wire. Get a little risky with it. But don't get risky in the Darnell Mooney range. He's still not relevant for our purposes. And there's really just no wide receiver out there that's super relevant with Kirk Cousins, the illustrious Kirk Cousins throwing. He's not going to be in consideration for your lineups either. Tight ends, though, Kyle Pitts did have himself a good week, and when Drake London is out, the volume goes to Kyle Pitts. So I think against Tampa Bay, he would be a reasonably decent start. Not one that I'm going to like put in my lineup and then throw a text out to my opponent and say, you're about to get crushed by Kyle Pitts, but you could start Kyle Pitts and probably feel okay about it. He was limited in Monday's practice, though, so you need to be watching out for that. On the flip side, we've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Bucky Irving, their running back, one of the more safe, I think, floor starts. He definitely needs to find his way as a high-end RB2 or even if you're rich, a flex option there. Baker Mayfield, I said last week he's got perhaps the best opportunity to turn things around, and so far he is not turning things around. Against New Orleans, a game that should have been well within the Tampa Bay's favor, It was a closer affair than it really should have been, and Baker did not perform very well. If I was a Baker manager, I would not be throwing him in my lineups. I would be looking long and hard at other options, because until I see that he's turning around, I'm not putting him in a do-or-die situation. Wide receivers. It's messy. Let's start with a little bit of positive news. Mike Evans does have a chance to play on Thursday. He's been out with a broken collarbone since October 20th. If you are made of stern stuff and are willing to throw Mike Evans into your lineup first game back, good on you, but I am not going to do that, and I would not advise you to do that either. The other wide receivers, Chris Godwin Jr., is still getting reasonably okay floors since he's been back since week 12. An uninspiring start, but a desperation start you could find there. And Emeka Egbuka, it's bad news, Bears. I wouldn't start him personally, given how the last month has gone. It could very well change for the better for Emeka Egbuka, given that Mike Evans could come back and take a little bit of the attention away from Egbuka that he's currently laboring under. But it's a mixture of Egbuka not catching balls, it's a mixture of bad throws from Baker Mayfield, and the end result of the equation is bad fantasy production, and you can't have that this week. So if you can get Egbuka on your bench, I would recommend doing that. James, next game, Texans-Cardinals.
All right, to Sunday at noon we go, where the Cardinals travel to Houston, and Houston is a 9.5 favorite in this game. This should be lopsided, but the biggest reason why it should be lopsided is going to be because of how the Texans defense has been playing over the last months or so. They have been incredible, shutting down some of the best offenses in the NFL, some of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. So when we talk about the Cardinals, one of the big things we want to talk about is Jacoby Brissett and the run he's been on since being named the starter in Arizona. That's nice. Happy for you, Jacoby Brissett. That run ends today. You are no longer endorsed by me to be started anywhere in fantasy football because the Texans will get after you. And yes, Jacoby Brissett can get on the run and make things happen, but how many quarterbacks who fit that archetype and do it significantly better than Jacoby Brissett have we seen them shut down just in the past month? Jacoby Brissett is not starting this week. Looking at the running backs, Bam Knight has been running things. We saw last week a little bit of Michael Carter since he's been healthy, but also useless. Amari DiMercato missed last week. It's just Bam Knight. He's the only guy who is really worth looking at right now, and I think this week facing the Texans, he's not worth starting. I don't want Bam Knight. I don't want really anybody else in the Cardinals except for Trey McBride. Marvin Harrison, obviously, we have to look at a little bit. He's questionable with that heel injury. Kept him out last week. He came back, and then he was out again. This feels like a bad time to be looking at Marvin Harrison Jr. anyway. If he plays, start him at your own risk. He's not getting an endorsement for me. Michael Wilson, however, did have a huge week 14. And three of his last 4 weeks with Marvin Harrison Jr. being on the mend have been huge as well. I really think he might be seriously worth taking a look as like a flex start this week, because his big weeks in those three of the four, we're not talking about like 15, 16, 17. We're talking about 20 into the 30 range. So if he gets peppered with those targets the way that he has been, he could be a big guy to have. But there is risk involved. Moving over to the Texans. C.J. Stroud, not a candidate to start this week. Woody Marks, however, will be. He is going to get a lot of touches as the RB1 this week. He's not really competing with anybody else for touches right now. I'm looking at him as a mid-RB2, possibly higher. Looking at wide receivers, Nico Collins, this is a big week for him. I think this is a very high ceiling type of matchup for him. I'm putting him as a high wide receiver two only because I feel really weird putting him as a wide receiver one, but that's where he's at. And I'm only going to talk about Jaden Higgins because to illustrate a point. Jaden Higgins is a guy who there's been moments throughout the season where It's looked like you could use him. It's looked like you could plug him into, it could plug him into your bench or stash or whatever. That's not the time anymore. You can't do Jaden Higgins in the playoffs. You can't do guys like that in the playoffs. This is no longer the time. And over for Dalton Schultz, he's the tight end 11. He had a week 14. He's a guy who's tough to predict, as are most tight ends. But I think as far as streamers go, he's as good a tight end as I think you're going to get. So if you're looking for a tight end streamer and you got Dalton Schultz, he's been here and there reliable at some points. You could do worse. I'm just not going to feel great about that. Stu, take us over to Philly.
Yes, we've got the Las Vegas Raiders heading into Philadelphia to play the Eagles. The line here, Eagles are 11.5 point home favorites with an over-under of a sparkling 38.5. Quick conversation about the Raiders, as it has been for the last several months. Brock Bowers is a start. Get him in your lineups. You're probably in the playoffs if you have him. He's a tight end 5 on the year, even with missing 4 games there in the middle. Ashton Jeanty, you may have made the playoffs in spite of. If you have any other option, look at it heavily, because he's on a stretch, a run that is horrible. He had Denver, didn't do very well, 10 for 30 with only 2 receptions in Denver. Now he goes to Philadelphia, and the next week he goes to Houston. Those are 2 horrendous matchups. If you can get him out of your lineup for the Philadelphia game, try to, because, I mean, unless Geno Smith recovers from his shoulder injury, we're looking at Kenny Pickett starting this game, and the Las Vegas Raiders are going to struggle in this game. Bowers, we're starting because we really don't have any other options that are better, but you should look for those better options. On the flip side, the Eagles, there's the good and the bad here, James. It was not a great game for Jalen Hurts last night. You know, he turned the ball over twice on a single play. He turned the ball over, I think it was 5 times across the entire game. And at least in our scoring format, he had a whopping goose egg as a quarterback. And that's bad. But he's now going against the Raiders. The Raiders are not nearly the same team as the Chargers were / are. Do I think Jalen Hurts is playing up to his potential right now? No. But he is playing well enough to merit start consideration in playoff lineups. So I think you continue starting Jalen Hurts. It might feel bad, but I think you will not be disappointed if you do. Finally, Saquon Barkley had himself a good game. He needs to be in your lineups. Absolutely, 100%. This game is going to get away from the Raiders, and Saquon should get a lot of work on the ground. Similarly, A.J. Brown, ever since he, you know, started complaining very, very vocally, he's been getting the targets that he's desired. He's had double-digit targets over the last month every single game, so he needs to be in your lineup. Even if, you know, they tend to lose when he gets those targets, it's kind of hilarious. Devontae Smith is the one that's very questionable in my mind. I would not be very confident in starting him. He would be much more of an emergency, like, I have T. Higgins and CeeDee Lamb both on my roster sort of play. But if you can not start him, I would probably not start him. He has the chance to score, but low enough that I don't think he's going to be super necessary for this game plan. And then Dallas Goedert, I think you can start when you're pressed for a tight end. So finishing up with that game, James, the next one is a lovely matchup between the Jaguars and the Jets.
All right, going down to Duval County. We got the Jets as 12.5 point underdogs against the Jaguars. So in the playoffs, we got to pay a lot of attention to matchups. We're always paying attention to matchups, but we probably want to ramp it up a little bit more right now. And when you get ones that you can exploit, this is the moment to do it. The Jaguars defense, and again, I know we don't talk a lot about defenses here, but it's the playoffs. You got to get those defensive matchups. This is one that might have fallen underneath the table for some people, and you may be able to get the Jaguars defense right now. This is why I want you to look at them. Stu, who is starting at quarterback for the New York Jets this week?
Oh, his name's Brady Cook, right?
His name's Brady Cook. He's a rookie, and he's not Tyrod Taylor or Justin Fields, and he is not going to be productive. I'm going to tell you that right now, because the Jets haven't been productive in any way this year, and that's not going to change right now. Compound that with the fact that the Jets are eliminated and what that does to the psyche of football players in the back half of the season. This is a ripe opportunity for the Jaguars, who are playing for something for once, to jump all over this. So, looking at the Jets and their roster, I need you to know no names except for Breece Hall. Breece Hall, you can treat him as a low running back too if you have to, but I really would like to avoid him if I can. I want nothing to do with any Jets. As for the Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence, streaming candidate this week. He's sitting at the QB 14. There have been moments throughout the season where you might have thought about starting him. He hasn't produced to a strong clip for most of the season, but this is a moment where if you need him, he could come in a big way. Travis Etienne, we saw the kind of week he had last week. It was a huge week for him in a week that I think I had predicted that I didn't really want to see him anymore. But this is one where he should be a high RB2. He should get a lot of work on the ground. He should get a lot of work for your fantasy team. Bishal Tuten, dropping clear. There's no reason to have him. Same thing with Parker Washington, Tim Patrick, most of those other Jaguars wide receivers. Brian Thomas, I don't have the heart to say drop him, but his time of taking up space is basically over. Jacoby Myers is the guy here. He has found a loving home here in Jacksonville, and he is a wide receiver too that you can, I think, confidently start here. And tight end Brenton Strange, we kind of knew he was going to be down last week after picking up a little bit before that. I think he could be a sneaky streaming candidate at tight end this week, but that's only if you really need him. Stu, take us to Chicago.
Chicago, where we have the Cleveland Browns visiting the Bears. The line in this game, the Bears are 7.5-point home favorites with an over-under of 40.5. So with the visiting Cleveland Browns, Shedeur Sanders, what a game from Shedeur Sanders last week. Quarterback 2 in scoring against Tennessee. Really, honestly, cool to see. I'd much rather see good play at the NFL level, no matter who it's coming from. I did definitely root against him a lot this year, just for my own selfish benefits, trying to win our bet that I have not ultimately lost, but it's so
basically lost.
Basically lost. Yeah, it's okay. I made the playoffs and you didn't. Ha! Anyway, awesome to see. That was Tennessee that he did it against. Not worth a pickup, not worth a play against Chicago. Let's not get too crazy. Quinshon Judkins still deserves to play as a running back 2 or high-end flex option in your playoff lineups. And then we start talking about the pass catchers. Jerry Jeudy did break away for a long touchdown, but with only 5 targets and 3 receptions last week, his production numbers were buoyed by that one single play. He's not worth consideration or even rostering at this point. You should drop him for something else. Harold Fannin Jr. does merit a start. He is a man, and I'm starting him in one of my leagues. I'm really excited to see what he could do. I want him to be great, and I think that you should join me in starting Harold Fannin. Shedeur Sanders looks his way often. Double-digit targets last week against Tennessee, and David Njoku's really not been super heavily involved. Did catch a score, but with a 1 reception for 1 yard on 1 target with 1 touchdown. It's quite the box score line right there for David Njoku last week. Moving over to the Chicago Bears. Caleb Williams, quarterback 7 on the year, fairly mediocre to pedestrian numbers going into this last month of the season. And against Cleveland, against Myles Garrett, I'm not really psyched to start him. I think you could, but I would definitely start basically anybody. Not basically anybody. Who would I start? Like Trevor Lawrence. I'd start Trevor Lawrence over him. I think that would be the line I have right there. Try to look for other options. I don't think throwing out a quarterback against the Cleveland defense usually works out for people. Roma Dunze is still nursing a foot/heel injury, a stress fracture in his foot. He's considered week to week, probably not a play, and definitely not worth consideration. DJ Moore, no. There's really no wide receiver or pass catcher that I would love to be starting in this game. Luther Burden did have himself a nice game, but you definitely have better options out there than Luther Burden. And then Colston Loveland also caught a score last week. Still not super worthy of consideration. It's the running backs that the real, you know, production comes from. DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manongai, the fun guy, as James called him earlier today. I think DeAndre Swift merits flex consideration. Manongai can be in an emergency style, but again, against these good defenses, I'm looking for other options, trying to play matchups as much as I can, which means I'm not looking at Bears too closely this week, James, even if they are at home. Finishing up there, can you take us to a game that I'm very interested in, the Patriots and the Bills?
I sure can. And it's not just used to. This is really one of the most intriguing matchups this week, not just for fantasy football, but in the NFL period. The Bills going into Foxborough as a 1.5 favorite. This is really a true pick'em here. And just overall about this game. Both of these teams are in the top third in total defense. I believe the Bills have the number 10 defense overall, and the Patriots have the number 7. They can be stout at times. They can be malleable at times. So how you approach this is going to depend a lot on how you see that playing a part here. Starting with the Bills, Josh Allen is obviously an auto start. He is the reigning MVP. He is that dude. We have seen moments over the course of the season where he has faltered a little bit. I don't really think this is a moment where that's going to happen, but with the Patriots having that potential as a strong defense as they have, I think that is possible this week. James Cook, RB6. He's an auto start. He is going to remain an auto start. Yes, the Patriots have a solid run defense, but you don't really have options at this point. It has to be James Cook. Looking at the tight ends, we actually saw both Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox have good weeks last week. Rare. I would love to see that happen all the time. I don't think it will. I'm not in love with starting either this week. Tight ends don't do great against the Patriots, but if I had to pick one, I'd pick Dalton Kincaid, since I've been picking Dalton Kincaid all year, and he's been correct most of the time. Khalil Shakir is not startable. Keon Coleman is not ownable. Nobody in the wide receiver core you want in Buffalo. Moving over to the Patriots, Drake May, in standard scoring, he has been an anomalous QB1. He is an auto start, but we got to think about some things about the Bills' defense. Yes, they are top 10 in total defense, but they are towards the bottom of the league in rushing defense. So, does Drake May do things on the ground? He can, but I'm looking at Travion Henderson to have a big week this week. He, I think, based on this, is going to get RB1 volume. I think that there is a chance that being at home, they're going to benefit from kind of those home conditions and be able to control game script for the first half of the game. And I think Travion Henderson is going to benefit from that. And a lot of that is also praying that Vrabel continues being done with Ramondre Stevenson and doesn't do his weird Vrabel things where he keeps using ineffective running backs to spell effective running backs. Like, yeah, keep your guys fresh, but let's use guys in a way that makes sense, please. I like Travion Henderson, RB1 volume this week. Moving over to the receivers, very hard time trusting any of these guys. Stephon Diggs is coming off two bad weeks before the bye. I think that the Pats are going to be passing in the second half a good amount, and Stephon Diggs had his best game of the season early against the Bills. I think there's a real chance that he has a good game, and I would not mind starting him if you have to as a flex. But again, it's really hard for me to trust him right now. Kayshon Booty, can't trust at all. Can't start. And then you got Hunter Henry over there. Not a great streaming option, but not the worst one in the world. I think he got you something like 8 PPR points last week. Again, I'm not in love with Hunter Henry. I'm not in love with this situation for him. But if you have to, you could do worse. Stu, takes us to Cincinnati.
Yes, we've got the Baltimore Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals playing a very important game in terms of playoff seeding. So both of these teams should be up for this game. The line, the Ravens are currently 2.5-point favorites with an over-under of 52.5. Decently high over-under. Kind of want some pieces of this game. Starting with the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, who kind of shook it off a little bit last week. Had himself a good game against Pittsburgh. He should be up for this game against a very beatable Cincinnati Bengals defense. I think he's earned and merits a start. If you're still in the playoffs with Lamar Jackson, he didn't just sink your boat over the last month and a half or so. He can start in your lineups, and I think you'll be okay. We've got the pass catcher, Zay Flowers. Been a reasonably consistent low-end wide receiver, too. Had himself a nice week last week. Merits consideration in playoff lineups this week. I'm basically going to say this for everybody for the Ravens. I mean, the Bengals, like, they just don't defend very well, and they especially don't defend tight ends well. So the Isaiah Likelys and the Mark Andrewses, I would expect them to have, a good week this week. I mean, look, just look at last week. Watch that beautiful game in the snow between the Bengals and the Buffalo Bills. Basically, every throw was going to tight ends. All three Josh Allen threw tight ends. Dawson Knox, Jackson Hawes, Dalton Kincaid. All three of those people scored. Mark Andrews should have a good day. Let's see. There's really no one else you want to be paying attention to outside of Derrick Henry. And if you weren't starting Derrick Henry or considering not starting Derrick Henry, I'd kind of just ask you why, because you should. The Bengals, Cincinnati Bengals, the biggest story today out of the Bengals camp is T. Higgins. He missed some time a little bit ago with a concussion, and now he's concussed again. Two concussions, or perhaps just one major concussion over the span of a month. Not good news at all. I would definitely plan to be without T. Higgins for this game, or perhaps even the playoffs at large, because at some point we got to talk about this guy's health, and he needs to have a functioning brain for the rest of his life. So follow it closely. Be very prepared, finger on the trigger, of a replacement for T. Higgins. Jamar Chase, Chase Brown, Joe Burrow, all starts. Get them in your lineups. They should all be assets to you. Andre Yoshivas does merit some level of consideration if T. Higgins were to miss time, but that would be a very desperation-style play for me. And then Mike Gesicki did score a touchdown last week, but that single blow-up game amidst a season of mediocrity is not enough for me to trust him in my playoff lineups. James, that finishes up Cincinnati versus Baltimore. Why don't you take us Chiefs and Chargers?
All right, another intriguing game here as the Chargers travel to Arrowhead. The Chiefs are 4.5-point favorites in this one. Last week, starting with the Chiefs, we saw the Chiefs get banged up a little bit. Patrick Mahomes had a very bad week with some Travis Kelce instigated interceptions towards the end of the game there. He's still the QB2. He still is very high ceiling, but the Chargers have a good defense. Played a tough defense in Week 14. This is going to be another tough defense. You really can't get away from Patrick Mahomes, though. You have to start him. He is going to make things happen. You can't dwell too much on what happened last week. The Chiefs are still in the hunt. While they still have motivation, they're still going to be moving through Patrick Mahomes. Moving over to running backs. So Kareem Hunt has looked to be the better back down the line. He's gotten more touches than Isaiah Pacheco. This week, I would not. The Chargers are tough against the run. There are going to be opportunities to use these guys next week, but you have to get to next week before you can use them next week. Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco, they're not drops. They are benches. Look at them if you make it to the second round. Over in the receivers, Rashee Rice, he's got too much upside to sit. I know he had a bad week last week. I think that with Travis Kelce making kind of a fool of himself last week, Rashee Rice might see an uptick in targets. I would not sit Rashee Rice anyway. He's just got too much upside. Xavier Worthy is the eternal matchup-based flex, and he's a sit this week. And Travis Kelce, I know with me just saying he made a fool of himself and might lose some targets because of it, he's still the tight end five. He still should bounce back decently. And do you really have better options at tight end? Probably not. Keep him in your lineup. Moving over to the Chargers. Justin Herbert playing last week on a freshly surgically repaired, surged. He had his stuff done to his hand, but he played anyway. With it being his non-throwing hand, he was able to continue playing, but was obviously in pain. And to make matters worse, the defense got after him last week, and he was running the ball a lot. That kind of reflected in his numbers. I'm not exactly expecting him to put up normal Justin Herbert numbers or big Justin Herbert numbers or anything like that. I would actually like to not start Justin Herbert this week. So if you've got other options, find other options. If you don't have other options, start him at your peril. Moving over to the running backs, we saw the return of Omarion Hampton. Kamani Vidal and Omarion Hampton basically split their touches down the middle. Kamani Vidal did get a few more than Omarion did, but Omarion Hampton did score through the air. Neither are guarantees of major production this week, but if I had to pick one, seeing that I believe Omarion Hampton will kind of continue ramping up his touches over the course of the next few weeks, I think he's the guy you want to have here and the guy you would like to start as a flex. RB2 if you have to, but I'm not like thrilled about this. There's nobody else on the Chargers I would like to start. I'm done with Ladd McConkey. He's on the bench this week. Quentin Johnson is done. Keenan Allen is done. Aronde Gadsden had his moment in the middle of the season, and he's really not doing anything right now. So don't bother with him. Stu, take us to the Meadowlands.
Yes, we've got the Commanders visiting the New York Giants fresh off of their bye week. The line in this game, the Commanders are 2.5-point dogs to the Giants with an over-under of 47.5. So starting with the Commanders, the big story is quarterback. We had Jaden Daniels start last game, but come out for a little bit, be a little banged up against Minnesota. Neither of these two teams are playing for a whole lot other than, you know, draft position. At 3-10 and 2-11, I think the Giants are. So I would not be starting Jaden Daniels if he's still on your roster as a playoff-bound team. I would expect them to go with Mariota from the get-go and just simplify things, let JD rest up, get ready for next year, and you know, you can just game plan around a quarterback who you know is healthy 100%. I expect them to announce Mariota to be the starter. Running backs. Chris Rodriguez Jr. seems to be getting the lion's share of the work, and he is being efficient with it. If he were to score this week against a Giants squad that is definitely less stout than Minnesota, you could very well have a desperation play here as a flex or an RB2 in Chris Rodriguez, but you're really hoping that he scores. I think he has a decent chance to score, more so than a lot of others, but, you know, take a look at him. He has not been too bad recently. For the pass catchers, we got Deebo Samuel, Terry McLaurin, and Zach Ertz. poor Ertz, his career is probably over. He tore his ACL in last week's game against the Vikings. So his targets, I mean, he's getting 5 to double-digit targets each game over the course of most of the season, at least the back half of it. Those are going to have to go somewhere. Deebo Samuel and Terry McLaurin are likely to be the most immediate beneficiaries. Deebo, I think, it merits flex appeal, and Terry, I think, does as well, albeit I'd rather start Deebo over Terry in this particular game. So flex for both of those guys. Moving over to the Giants, Jackson Dart, I think, can be started as a quarterback. One, as long as he uses his legs, I think he should have a very good week against this Commander squad. For running backs, we've got Tyrone Tracy and Devin Singletary. I really do honestly like Devin Singletary coming out of the bye. He's gotten good work. He's been good with it. He's gotten goal line situation carries. I think if you really needed something, or possibly even if you don't, you should look at Devin Singletary. A lot of Devin Singletary's value merits consideration based on the health of Tyrone Tracy, who did leave week 13 with a hip pointer, or like a hip contusion or a stinger, whatever they call that. He was called questionable to return that game and never did come back. So with the bye week, he should be healthy, but he and Devin Singletary were still splitting fairly evenly, and Singletary was getting the more high-value stuff. So starting Devin Singletary, sitting Tyrone Tracy Jr. For the pass catchers, Wandale Robinson, I think, merits consideration in this game. They do have to throw to someone. He and Darius Slayton are just basically the last two guys alive, but Darius Slayton is very low volume and big play potential. Wandale's more of the floor play, so if you want some safer PPR-style points, I think you go with Wandale in this game. Theo Johnson, I do think, merits consideration as well. He's one of Jackson Dart's favorite targets, and there you go. For a weak tight end class that just got weaker with Zach Ertz going down, I think you can start Theo Johnson, and you wouldn't be too upset about that, James. Moving right along, you get a fun one to talk about. Let's talk about the Colts visiting the Seahawks.
Yeah, for real. And guys, if you have the Seahawks defense, you are going to be really happy this week. The Colts traveling out to Seattle, where the Seahawks are 13.5-point favorites, and everything with Indianapolis is just going from bad to worse to awful. Starting with the quarterback position, obviously we all know about Daniel Jones with the Achilles. He's out for the season. Riley Leonard, the rookie out of Notre Dame, came in and filled in the best he could, and has a PCL sprain. He's questionable. Next guy up after that, which a PCL sprain is not nothing, it's Brett Rypien, who's the next guy in line, which we've seen him back up before and not well. And then the big news today out of Indianapolis, Philip Rivers, 44-year-old retiree, is back on the Colts practice squad so that he can be an emergency quarterback. Can you imagine seeing Philip Rivers, who hasn't played since 2020, coming back to play for the Colts this year? That would be insane. I'm not ruling it out, but I am ruling out trusting the Colts to produce this week. Jonathan Taylor is still numbers-wise the RB1, and because there's no real quarterback there, he is going to get a ton of volume, but is it meaningful volume? The Seahawks have a very good run defense, have a great defense regardless. Is Jonathan Taylor going to be able to do anything with that volume he gets? I really don't know. We have to continue starting him because of what he has the potential to do with that volume. That offensive line is still the same offensive line for the most part that he has been running behind for most of the season. But it's a crapshoot. We don't know what's going to happen, and we have seen a noticeable dip in production since Daniel Jones started dealing with his injury, and now we don't know what's going to happen at the quarterback position. Michael Pittman, moving over to wide receivers, produced well last week amongst the weird circumstances, but it remains hard to trust him just because of what's going on with the quarterback. There are schools of thought where bringing in a quarterback who's not super familiar with the team, he may try to overexpose his stars. And Michael Pittman, with his big body and large catch volume, could be a guy like that. So could Tyler Warren. But it's hard for me to trust him this week. I'm downgrading all Colts wide receivers. Pittman is a start if you have to guy, like a flex. Josh Downs is not an option. Alec Pierce is dealing with some undisclosed injury, so he's out for me anyway. Tyler Warren, there's actually more reason to start him this week because he's apparently the Colts' emergency quarterback and could see, God forbid, some touches at quarterback. You have to start him because of what he has the capability to do just as a tight end, but that's something interesting there. Moving over to the Seahawks, who's going to be the beneficiaries of this. Anytime you're playing against an offense that can't move the ball, and that's very weird talking about the Colts, who were one of the most efficient offenses in NFL history several weeks ago, that means you're going to get more touches for the Seahawks offense, which means you can upgrade most of these guys. Sam Darnold becomes a possible situational streamer this week. He's not very high on my list for that, but he is an option. Kenneth Walker, I'm going to tentatively endorse him this week. He, I believe, is going to have positive game script and could be in for a nice week. Zach Charbonnet, with the inconsistent volume he gets, it's been up and down over the last few weeks. It's like 13, 8, 12, 7, not a consistent number of attempts with the ball. I'm not very interested in him, but we've seen that blow up in my face before. Jaxon Smith-Njigba is obviously the wide receiver one. You have to start him. There are no other options there. The only other guy who I might look at is Cooper Kupp. I really don't believe that he's worth a start, but I could see an uptick in production this week, but I can't trust it to happen. I need to be a little bit more sure about things here in week 15 in round one. And A.J. Barner, the tight end, he's had his moments. Again, can't trust him, can't move forward there. Stu, take us to Mile High.
Yes, we've got an interesting matchup between the Green Bay Packers and they are visiting the Denver Broncos. Line for this game, we've got the Packers 2.5-point road favorites with an over-under of 43.5, so average all told, but this looks to be a fairly defensively-minded matchup between the two. Green Bay's side, Josh Jacobs is an automatic start. Dance with the girl that brought you. Put him in your lineup. Jordan Love, I personally would not this week. He's been on a little bit of a tear, having some good games against Detroit and Chicago, but when he goes up against a good defense, Minnesota, Philadelphia, not as good. So I would expect Denver to get after him, and I don't really want him in my week 15 lineups. Christian Watson has been lighting the world on fire basically ever since I said that I preferred Romeo Dobbs over him, so I'm going to walk that opinion back. Christian Watson, I think, can be started, especially if he keeps catching touchdowns at this current rate. He's doing very, very well. He could be a flex-style play for you. One name I want to keep an eye on is Jaden Reed, who was activated off of injured reserve in time for the Week 14 game against Chicago. Immediately jumped back in, was involved to some degree, 2 carries, 4 receptions. Looks pretty good. As he continues to acclimate into the offense, I don't think he is a bad option this week. You probably have plenty of other really good options, but if you are super desperate and Jaden Reed is out there, which he generally is, he's 42% rostered in ESPN leagues right now, he would be a better than decent waiver acquisition, desperation, plug and play sort of deal. On the other side, we've got the Broncos, Bo Nix, the eternal enigma, Bo Nix, who can throw 38 passes, complete 31 of them for only 212 yards and 0 touchdowns against Las Vegas. I don't really want to trust him in the fantasy playoffs against a more than solid Green Bay defense, even if they are at home. Looking at the skill position players, we got R.J. Harvey, who is settling in nicely to his massive workload and volume ever since J.K. Dobbins goes down. He needs to be started as a high-end RB2, even against a Green Bay team that is, as I said, pretty stout. Pass catchers, Cortland Sutton, I think can be started as a low wide receiver 2 flex option in PPR formats. Troy Franklin and Marvin Mims, let's just avoid that in week 15. You know, there's no reason to be starting them or at this point holding them. And then Evan Ingram, same with him. We don't really need to be considering him at this point. So, interesting game. I'll be very curious to see how it plays out. I'm not really interested in a whole lot of pieces from this game, James. I think it's going to be a real, you know, old school defense versus defense kind of brawl. Why don't you take us over to the Saints and Panthers?
All right. The Carolina Panthers are traveling to New Orleans to play the Saints, where the Panthers are 2.5-point favorites here. Not a lot of names you guys need to know about, but there are a few you do. Bryce Young is not startable, but there are questions as to which running back in Carolina is. Rico Dowdle has been the guy over the course of the season who has been the better of the running backs, but before the bye, we saw a moment where Rico Dowdle's production started to cool off from the moments when he was scoring 30 points a week to the point in week 13 where Rico Dowdle and Chuba Hubbard had equal touches, and we saw Hubbard do more with those touches. Before that, Dowdle was the guy. I'm not sure what we're supposed to think about what happened there. Is it the coaching staff trying to send a message to Rico Dowdle? Is it the coaching staff trying to help Chuba Hubbard's confidence a little bit? I think Rico Dowdle is still the guy to own and the guy to start this week. And I would start Rico Dowdle this week as a RB2. Lower-end RB2, but I'd still start him. Tet McMillan, he has been an interesting guy to watch over the course of the season. You could do worse at flex. I would not like to start him this week. He's not getting my endorsement, but you could do worse. He's just outside the flex conversation for me. For the Saints, Tyler Shuck, don't. And I think really the only guys who you need to look at for the Saints at running back, Devin Neal can run a little bit. If you got him on waivers a couple weeks ago, you were surely happy with what he did for you last week. I think he remains a start. He's in RB2 territory for me. For the wide receiver position, it's just Chris Olave. He, I believe, is a good low wide receiver 2 option this week with potential to go higher. And for tight end 6, Juwan Johnson remains at the back end of reliable tight ends. You can go ahead and keep going with him. You can put him in your lineup. Stu, take us to sunny Los Angeles.
Yes, where we've got the Detroit Lions visiting the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams are 5.5-point favorites with an over-under of 55.5. James, I am staking every ounce of my mental will and well-being on this game. I have a ton of pieces in this game. I need this game to be a shootout to get past round one. I'm going up against Josh Allen. Like, I need this. I need this. We need to manifest this right now. Close your eyes with me, everyone at home. This game is going to be a banger. Let's get into it. With the visiting Detroit Lions, Jahmyr Gibbs has to be in your lineup. If he's not, I don't know what to tell you. Amon-Ra St. Brown needs to be in your lineup. He was basically a game-time decision and then ended up getting 9 targets in a game that he should be more healthy. He's got to be out there. Jameson Williams is the ultimate swing for the fences. If you are heavily unfavored, if you're an 8 seed going up against a 1, go for it. Like, if he gooses you, which is very possible, I mean, it's like, whatever. You were the 8 seed. You weren't supposed to win against the 1 seed. But if he does hit, and he's been hitting far more than he's been missing in the last half of the season, you could look pretty darn good. David Montgomery, the other running back, broke away for a really nice touchdown in week 14 against Dallas, but with only 6 opportunities or so per game, I'm not super interested in David Montgomery this week. Jared Goff, playing in a, it's not really a dome, I guess, SoFi. He's playing in nice weather, so in a game that should be a shootout, I think you can, but I would definitely pump the brakes a little bit, because I do expect the Rams, which is a good unit, their defense is very, very solid. I wouldn't be super thrilled to be starting Jared Goff. He is the QB8 on the year, though, so there is merit to that. One last guy I want to shout out is Isaac Tesla. Just a really cool name. Catches really, really nice footballs, and they're very acrobatic and fun to watch, so not really a consideration for us. For the Rams, Matthew Stafford, the possible MVP, QB2 on the year. I'm putting him in my lineup, and I think he should be in yours in a game that, again, we are manifesting it to be a banger. Kyren Williams also needs to be in your lineup, I do believe. And then Blake Corum, who I've been singing the praises of the last week or two, doesn't need to be in your lineups now, but if Kyren Williams goes down, hoo-wee, week 16, watch out. Wide receivers, it's the same old, Nakua, Adams, both of them have to be in your lineups. I know Devontae had a bad week last week, but they could have, you know, slept through that game against Arizona and won the game. So in a game that they actually have to wake up for, both of these guys need to be in your lineups. Wide receiver one's probably the both of them. James, pretty quick through that one. We're manifesting a banger. We're moving on, though. 49ers and Titans.
Yeah, this one probably not as much of a banger, at least for one team. For the Titans, if you had Tony Pollard last week, you were thrilled. I highly doubt you started him, though. And even though he rushed for like 160 yards with a touchdown, you're not starting Tony Pollard this week. I refuse to endorse him, especially against this defense. And that's all I'm going to talk about for the Titans. If you got Kamara, DK, good for you. Keep him on your bench. For the 49ers, they are probably the defense to have this week. There are others who are very good choices. This is the choice. But for quarterback, Brock Purdy has been getting back into rhythm after coming back from injury. I think he is a very good situational streamer option this week. We saw what Shadur did to this defense last week. Imagine what a veteran can do. So, obviously, I don't have to tell you that Christian McCaffrey is an auto start. He's a free win, basically, for you. Imagine what he's going to do against this defense. And George Kittle at tight end, I don't have to tell you to auto-start him. Five of his last six games hit double digits, and he should feast here as well. The guys we do need to kind of be a little bit more critical of are the wide receivers, and I really think there's only one worth talking about right now. You can drop Ricky Pearsall, you can drop Kendrick Bourne. Juwan Jennings is the only guy who's worth looking at. And right now I'm looking at him as a floor play. He's like a Zay Flowers for me right now. In the playoffs, like Stu kind of talked about when he was talking about Jameson Williams, there are situations where you need boom plays and where you might be more comfortable with a floor play. I'm not really comfortable with a big floor guy this week. Knowing that it's the playoffs, I wouldn't be thrilled to start Juwan Jennings, but knowing a guy who is very likely to get you into double digits is better than rolling out someone who maybe hasn't produced in double digits all year and last week randomly had like 30 points. Juwan Jennings is an option there. He wouldn't be an option if you had someone like Jameson Williams across from you. But quick and easy there for that one. Stu, I believe this is your last game for us this week. Take us to Sunday night.
Yes, we have the Cowboys and the Vikings with Jerry World hosting 9 in this matchup. Nine. The Cowboys are currently 5.5-point favorites with an over-under of 47.5. There's a lot of nuance here, to be honest. A lot of things that could go either way, a lot of things I'm not super psyched about. Let's start with the Minnesota Vikings. A lot of things that are a little more cut and dry here because I'm not interested. I get that the Cowboys have had the reputation as a defense to be super porous and you could start basically everyone against them. They've been better ever since the trade deadline. They really just have. So maybe they're below average, but they're not, you know, start every single person. So Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson, Jordan Mason, JJ McCarthy especially, are all sits for me this week. The two that you could argue for are Aaron Jones. That's a little more of a safe start, more of a flex play for him. I think he could still have a decent game. And then Justin Jefferson. And this is going to be how you feel. If he cannot do it against Washington, I don't expect him to be able to do it against Dallas. But if he can't do it against Dallas, can we really expect him to do it against the Giants next week? Is there a point that this season we're starting Justin Jefferson with any level of confidence again? No. So if you want to, sure. If you have nothing else, sure. But I would be pulling out every last bit of pocket lint and trying to start that over him at this point. I do not want to go down with that ship. It is week 15. It is round one of the playoffs. You got here basically in spite of him from where you drafted him. And basically, yeah, you know, go with the Lord, I guess, if you're starting Justin Jefferson. I do not want to. On the Dallas side, the interesting thing here is that CeeDee Lamb currently is concussed. He was concussed on a Thursday night game, so he does have a little bit of extra time to get healthy, and the most recent report says that he is progressing well through the concussion protocol. If he's out there, he needs to be out there for you as well, but if he is not, it changes the dynamic of this team completely. Number one, George Pickens is going to be started either way, either as a low wide receiver two or a high wide receiver two if CD doesn't play. You know, Minnesota is a very good defense, and they come out hungry, and they're ready to play most every week. So it's a little sketchy. I'm not super confident starting George Pickens, but he needs to be out there. One name you want to pay attention to if CD is not out there is Ryan Flournoy, who is 100% available basically in every single league. If CD is out and George Pickens does George Pickens-related things where he's just not locked in for the game or he's hurt or whatever was happening with him in Week 14 against Detroit, Flournoy was the major beneficiary. So if you are super desperate or perhaps even a CD Lamb investor, drop somebody at the end of your bench, you know, get Flournoy on your roster and just be prepared. Waivers go through tomorrow, so most people will probably be already listening to this while waivers have passed, but if Flournoy is still out there, grab a hold of him. He would be a desperation play for me in Week 15. Javonte Williams needs to be played as a running back one. He's doing very well, very consistent no matter who they're playing against. And then Dak Prescott, in a game that should be pretty entertaining, he can be a start as a low-end QB1, but I'm definitely downgrading him against Minnesota as compared to a lot of other quarterbacks out there. So a reasonable start. I think you can put him out there, but I'd love to have a better option on my roster already, James. That is it for me for Week 15. Why don't you round us out with the Steelers and Dolphins?
All right, taking us to Monday night, this is going to be a tough one. We got the Dolphins traveling to Pittsburgh with the Steelers, your 3.5-point favorites, and there are some things to talk about. For the Dolphins, starting at the quarterback, obviously you're not starting Tua Tagovailoa. Who knows how long he's going to be in the league for, but the guy who you have been riding all season long with the Dolphins is Devon Achane. He has been incredible all year. We saw him go down last week with a rib injury. He went down early, and the guy who replaced him was Jalen Wright, who balled out. Devon Achane right now, it's a rib injury that could mean several things. It could mean that it's a pain mitigation problem, and with the Dolphins not exactly being a strong contender at this point, they're not eliminated, but it could be that Devon Achane gets shut down. I don't think that's going to happen, but the fact that that could happen is going to mean that Jalen Wright should be higher on your waiver acquisition lists. Not higher than Flournoy, but he should be a name that you need to know. If Devon Achane is healthy, he's an auto start. If not, I'm auto starting Jalen Wright. Jalen Waddle, he is a guy who you kind of have to keep starting as wide receiver too. He has been producing decently for us down the stretch. Moving over to the Steelers, this vaunted defense could possibly shut down the Dolphins and get you some very nice fantasy points. They're not the top of my list for defenses I would like to have this week. They're probably somewhere around like 8th or 9th on my list, but they are on the list. This is a fine option. But Aaron Rodgers, I don't care what he did last week, you still can't trust him. He's still an ancient creature who we cannot expect to perform well on a weekly basis. There are better streaming options probably for you, but for us, the biggest people we need to know about on the Steelers offense are the running backs. Jaylen Warren specifically. So he's the RB20 on the season. Between him and Kenneth Gainwell, he is the guy who has more productive performance. And he is better in positive game script. I believe that the Steelers are going to be playing with positive game script this week. And even though we saw them throw the ball a lot against Baltimore, the Dolphins are not the Ravens. Jaylen Warren, I think if you can play him as a flex, that's great. If you got to play him as an RB2, I wouldn't hate that either. Kenneth Gainwell, he is more of the receiving option of the two guys. The fact that they threw the ball a lot against Baltimore is going to be why he performed as well as he did last week. I think in general, Kenneth Gainwell is a higher ceiling but lower floor than Jaylen Warren. He is not consistent. He is an option for you to throw out there if you think that you need that higher ceiling play, but I don't think I'd go with him over Jaylen Warren most of the time. At the wide receiver, only name you need to know is DK Metcalf. He's questionable with a stomach. He should play, but for me, DK Metcalf is another guy I can't trust. He would be an emergency play only. And Dr. Stu, we now are done with week 15.
We're getting close to being just done with the season. Like,
yeah.
Statistically speaking, over half of our listeners got eliminated.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, we're gonna lose people. Good luck in the off season, everyone. Maybe. I'm pressing on.
Stu, to celebrate the start of the playoffs, to toast you as you progress through your run here, what are you drinking, my friend?
Well, one that I want to highlight, so I'm not actually drinking it tonight. I don't have anything like that. I am going to highlight the Old Rasputin, which is one that you and I have discussed or drank together several times, talked about on this show.
Got
several
that in
times.
My fridge.
It's felt like a while since we mentioned it. So, from North Coast Brewing Company, the Old Rasputin. It is an Russian Imperial Stout, ABV of 9%, so you got to be a little careful about that. 75 IBUs. It is a, you know, world-renowned beer, 10 out of 10, 9.5 out of 10, something like that. Really, really good. It's not the smoothest thing ever, but if you drink it, you probably will like it, and it's a very good stout to kind of breach the genre of stouts and dark beers with. So, James, you like the Rasputin, but what are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking from Firestone Walker Brewing in California, the Cali Squeeze Citrus Wheat Ale. It is a blood orangey citrus wheat ale, as is stated there. I don't have a lot to say about it, but I do have a lot to drink about it. So, let's crack these bad boys in 3, 2, 1. And Stu, closing thoughts, my friend.
Yes. You know, reach out to us on our socials. Tell us why you missed the playoffs and how it's our fault. If you have any last start sit questions, you know, reach out to us on Instagram and on X. They call it X now, yeah, at Fantasy Foot Beer on both platforms. We do still take beer requests at our Gmail. That's fantasyfootbeer@gmail.com. What do you like to drink? What do you want us to highlight and or drink on the show? Always happy to hear from you. I'm actually reading an actual email now, so maybe we'll be looking into something next week. as far as that, James, we're looking forward to week 16. Got to get through week 15, but keep your eyes on the horizon. We'll get to the championship here soon. Why don't you take us home for the evening?
All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in this week. And I want to leave you with something to just frame your mind over the next week and hopefully for the next 3 weeks. And Stu, this goes for you too. I want you to be focused on nothing but winning. When you go home tonight, if you're driving home or driving to work as you're listening to this, drive thinking about winning that drive. When you walk in the door in your place of work, think about winning that work day. When you go home and you walk in your front door or whatever door you enter your house through, think about winning at home. I want you to use that mindset to create winning in fantasy football. Because right now, there is nothing but winning. The only thing that you can afford to do is win. So with that, for Dr. Michael Stewart, I'm James Kemp. Good night.